And I'm Rachel, here with Ari, and we're your hosts for the Merry Writer podcast. This week, we're on episode 208, and we're asking, what should writers discuss on their blog? Before we dive into the topic, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening if you haven't already. And if you enjoy the show, please share it with friends and feel free to write a review. Now, we have talked a lot about the fact that writers and authors should have websites. So, assuming you have an author website, because I know you all do, you've all taken our advice to heart, we're going to discuss what you, well, not that you, not what you should discuss on your blog, but assuming you have a blog on your website, here are some things that you can discuss. And I'll just say that you should discuss anything you want. You have total control. It's your website. But for the sake of this being a longer episode than 3 minutes, we'll share some examples. And that breaks down to the different types of blog posts. So first, I'll suggest you can write how-to guides. And these guides can be about sharing tips and tricks about how to write a book, how to keep an author website, how to write in whatever genre you write in, etc., etc.
I have seen so many writers who said things like, I can't share tips about writing or how to write this thing or that thing because I'm not published. And we say to that, yes, you can. If you're writing and you're learning something, if you have tried writing dialogue and throughout the time you've been writing, you have learned how to do it better, if you found tricks and tips that you want to share, I mean, they don't really have to be your personal tricks and tips. If you find something, you know, and you try it and it works, that's what you can share. You don't have to be some fully published author, traditionally published with a back catalogue of 50 books to share your insights. You're not coming out, hopefully, and saying, this is the best way of doing it. This is the expert, blah, blah, blah. You know, as long as you're not putting yourself as the expert on something, if you are not. But if you're sharing an insight that you learned, then of course you can. So yeah, never be worried about sharing advice or tips and tricks about how to write things that you have learned, even if you're unpublished, because someone will find it useful. So yeah, I just want to put that in because it's one of those weird things. Rachel, are you okay? You're just dying over there.
I was trying to listen to you and everything Ari said is true and you should listen to her because she is right. But I just, you didn't hear it obviously because you're on the opposite end, but Ari blew a raspberry. She didn't fart. I just—it sounded so much like a fart.
Yeah, no, no, it was definitely a raspberry. This is why we should have video sometimes.
I'm like literally crying over. That's so funny.
I never thought that people might not realize that I did that with my mouth and not my ass. But yeah, no.
No, legit though, it sounded like a fart. It really...
That would have worked too, to be honest. Are you okay? Can you carry on? She has gone really red, guys. So red.
Oh my gosh. That was the funniest noise ever. I don't even know what Ari said about the how-to kinds, but I concur. I think Ari said that if you're not published, you can still write and give advice and stuff. And absolutely you can. The writing community is for everybody. I'll go ahead. Oh, I gotta breathe. Another type of blog post you can write is lists or our lists. I guess our lists. I don't know. I think lists are a fan favorite of everybody. And I think it's to read and to write because they're easy, skimmable types of blog posts, but you can write lists about your favorite books, your favorite websites for writers, your favorite writing podcasts, pretty much anything. And I mean, you can also, I mean, I'll get to this in a minute, but you can also write personal lists as well, like how to organize your office, things that you bought for your office and things like that. I mean, the possibilities are really endless.
I think there's even something where like algorithms do well when it's like the title is something like, you know, 10 tricks to speed up your writing or, you know, my top five favorite writing things. I think if there's a number in it and you kind of like that style, I'm sure I read somewhere sometime that it was quite good for the algorithm. It might have even been weird, like odd numbers do well. Like, I think top 10 as well. But yeah, apparently I think it's like if it's like 9 or 13, it's a bit more eye-catching, so I think it does better. But I think top 10 always do well just because everyone seems to like top 10. I don't know.
Well, top 10, I would think that people would like the even numbers, but I guess a lot of things, I guess with the odd numbers, you would probably expect that there's like a bonus or something. Like you would say, oh, top 10, but wait, there's actually 11. So there's like an extra thing at the bottom because for some reason, everything needs to be even. I don't know. But lists are great because they're skimmable, they're easy to read, and they're fairly quick to write as well. So if you're in a pinch, think about the books that you read within the past like month or two and then just say, hey, here's what I read. And then just give like a brief review if you want, which brings me into my next point. Something else that writers can share on their blogs are reviews. And this could be book reviews of books that you've read, obviously. Or you can write product reviews. If there's a certain writing program that you use, you can write a review for that. And you can even write a how-to guide. Like, for example, Scrivener. Both Ari and I use Scrivener. I could very easily post a walkthrough with screenshots of how I set up Scrivener for my mystery novels and how I utilize Scrivener and the different buttons that you can utilize, all the different things you can use for it, and then write a formal review about why I love it and so on and so forth. So you could do reviews of products, you could do reviews of books, and there are probably reviews you could do for other things, but that's all I could think of when I wrote my notes.
I think you have to realize you can, it's like product's perfect, but you can think a little bit outside the box with that because yeah, definitely like you can try different products, like you can try different softwares like Scrivener or other ones that I can't think of right now. But I mean, I've written a few product reviews, and I remember I wrote one about compression gloves because I sometimes get like aches in my knuckles. So when I found out about compression gloves, I got them, and it connected to writing because the pain in my knuckles happened when I was typing for too long. So I was able to take a product that you may not have thought about connected to writing and still make it about writing, because it fit with that. Same with if you use a certain type of desk lamp that works, or a keyboard, obviously that's about writing anyway. Or we could write our review about microphones, because obviously we do a podcast and those microphones that we use are very specific. So it doesn't even have to be you're doing the same reviews as everyone else, doing these very specific, you know, everyone's talking about this, everyone's talking about that. I remember I've done one about Trello because we use it for our writing, we use it for this podcast. I mean, the podcast one is crazy, it's so full. So yeah, anything that can be connected or drawn through to the niche, because I think we've talked about it before, if you're writing a blog on your website, you should have a niche. Sorry about that. All I just saw in front of Rachel's camera was a giant tail as her cat walked past. Anyway, yes,
we got new desks and he loves them.
We'd have to put a little picture up on the YouTube video just as a flash up at this point. It's like, this is what the cat looks like. Where the hell was I? But yeah, so, you know, it can be, oh, that was it, niche. So it's a good idea to have a niche. So if you're talking about writing or reviewing or things like that, trying to tie things up toward that. My blog is mostly about that, but I also have things like organization, so I can also discuss products that connect to that. But yeah, product reviews are brilliant. People really like them. And same with book reviews. I mean, book reviews are a big thing. Obviously, try and be honest. You know, use the product. Don't do it or thing if you've never tried the product. Try the product if you think it's useful. I mean, I've reviewed products that I thought were really good for other writers, like people new to writing. Didn't work for me because I wasn't about to take everything from Scrivener and move it on. But I was still able to try that product out and figure out, actually, yeah, if I was a new writer, I would definitely be using this. And do that. So yeah, that was my point.
I think that's what I was trying to think of when I said you can review products or books, and there was other things. I think I was thinking of programs and software, and then for my products I use Scrivener as an example, but you use the compression gloves. That's an actual product, so yeah, that certainly works too. And absolutely take Ari's advice. If you're gonna review something, make sure you've used it before, so that way you actually know what you're talking about. I have seen people review popular products thinking that they can sneak in the affiliate links, and then, but they've never actually used it before. And they're like, yeah, this is great. And it's just be honest, be honest.
Can I just jump in? If you end up doing well on your blog and you get someone asking to like, oh, could you review my product? Yeah, that it's like, it's all good having affiliate links. That's great. Making a bit of cash. But at the same time, don't go going, oh, yeah, accepting everything. I mean, I get messages from people saying, oh, yeah, here, try my yoga mat or my multiple supplements. And it's like, and I always turn them down because it's got nothing to do with writing or blogging or organization. So, yeah, don't just go, hey, I might be able to make some money, because that won't be good for your readers.
I always get yoga stuff. I always get messages from people about yoga. And I'm like, what about my blog screams yoga to you? Ari also mentioned that when she does like product reviews, like she could do organization stuff and cleaning, things like that, because she also talks about that on her blog. So that's something else you can discuss on your blog. You can do personal stories and opinion pieces. And it doesn't necessarily have to be about writing. It can just be like pretty pictures that you took on a walk one day, or you can like share that where your inspiration came from for a certain writing piece that you wrote a while ago. You could share your creative writing process. You can share how you organize your writing office and, you know, your daily routine for writing, or just, you know, anything in general. So that's also something else, because I think that's something that people really like to see, is that their favorite writers and their favorite authors are also human and have other lives outside of writing. So personal stories and opinion pieces, you can get as controversial as you're comfortable with doing so. But yeah, opinion pieces and personal stories are a big hit as well.
Yeah, I have to admit, I like it when I'm reading a blog and there'll be like something more personal, something about a personal win or pet pictures. They're always a good bonus. Or as you said, like nature walks, every now and then there's a couple of authors who will put in photos of their area. And especially if you live in a completely different area and you're getting to see nature photos or locations of places that you've never been. There's a couple of writers I see who do that, who visit like museums and things and put these up. And it's like, I've never been there. I might never get there. This is really nice. I get to see it. And to be honest, might get ideas for your own novel. Someone walking around a castle, you get some ideas. You never know.
Absolutely. So you get those ideas for the aesthetics that you're going to create for your novel. Something else that you can discuss on your blog, if you're like feeling stuck for ideas, you can even just like make an FAQ list. And I don't think I need to explain that. Everybody knows that FAQs are frequently asked questions, and that kind of goes along with your personal stories and opinion pieces. And it can also go along with writing updates, which is, of course, another thing you can talk about, because while people love to see their favorite authors having a life outside of writing, they want to know more about your writing. So FAQs help with that. You can discuss your current work in progress. You can share excerpts. You can share your cover reveals. Pretty much anything else that pertains to your writing or whatever you're currently working on, you can share.
Yeah. The thing about writing updates, that's really good, because you're obviously trying to generate interest in your stories before it's published. So that is a good one. And with FAQs, what you could also do is ask. You could do a ask me anything day, and one of your posts could literally be, you ask me about my writing process, my novels, my my pets. And you could give people the option in a blog post to talk about themselves, you could put a blog post up where you're asking people to ask you questions, and then you could then take those questions and correlate them into an FAQ page. An FAQ post. And then eventually, as you get more of them, you could then turn that into a page that's like static at the top. So you've always got an FAQ page. So yeah, you actually get like 3 or 4 posts out of that. You know, you could literally ask me anything about my writing process, and people could ask questions. The next one could be, ask me anything about my novel, this novel, and people could ask. And then you could take all those individual ask ones and create FAQs specifically for them. And then again, put it all together in a page. So it's not even just like one thing. You can sort of spread it out.
Actually, that's a good idea, because you can even create more blog posts from that. If somebody says, what's your writing process like? You can give a brief answer on the FAQ post, which would also eventually be on the page. And you can also link to a full blog post that says, I go more in depth about it here, which is great internal linking, which is good for SEO, which you shouldn't really be worrying about for your author website, but hey, it does help a little bit. And I do want to add that I know Google especially loves the longer blog posts now. I think that's what's working at this time, but you don't need your blog posts to be 3,000 words long. The Ask Me Anything post, that can literally just be, hey, I want to compile a list of FAQs. Ask me anything in the comments and I'll answer it on this day, or I'll come up with an FAQ post, I'll publish something on this day or whatever. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to even be 100 words. Just something quick. You know, sometimes it's good just to get something up in a pinch, especially if you haven't posted anything in a while, just to show that you're still around and you're still active.
Actually, that's a good point. Especially if you've not been active for a while, sometimes it can be quite daunting to come back and write a long blog post. So having these options of just doing a really quick short one saying, hey, ask me anything, or here's the blurb of my story, what do you want to know about it? And something like that. That's a really good way of getting you back into writing blogs without feeling this like, oh my God, I've got to come up with a huge blog idea and write it all and all the pictures and everything.
Absolutely. And then something else that you could talk about, you could just do roundup posts. And I've seen a lot of people on blogs do this. They typically do it at the end of every month. But I mean, you could do it at the end of every 3 months. You could do it however often or not as you want. But roundups are basically a list of posts that you've created within the month, for example, on and off your blog. It's just an extra little content piece that you can share on your blog, and it'll link to everything that you've done over the course of whatever time frame you chose. And it can be on your blog or it can be off your blog, so that if people really enjoy your lists, they can go onto the roundup and say, oh, my favorite author just posted 3 different lists. I missed this one. Let me go check it out. But if you write a lot of like personal stories, and maybe somebody doesn't care to hear about your personal stories, they can say, oh, well, I can skip those. And they can jump to the posts that they like that recently just came out.
Yeah, I like roundup posts because every now and then I will miss a blog post from an author that I'm following. I mean, obviously, I try to do as much as I can. I can't always read everything. But sometimes you're like, oh, that looks like a really good one, and you'll go in. And I also like that you can do it for other writers. It doesn't have to just be yours. You can go out and like pull other author stuff. So you've got that kind of connection, which you could also just do sharing other blog posts, as in other blogs. Every now and then I used to do that, like a few times a year. I'd be like, oh, have you checked out these people's blogs? If you like writing, here's this. If you like photography, here's that. And it's kind of nice to share the kind of community, because the blogging community is quite good. We kind of all support each other. And it's a good way to kind of draw in and kind of everyone looks at each other's blog posts. So yeah, so sharing actual blog posts and just sharing blogs is a really good one.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a huge part of blogging. I mean, it's very similar to the writing community. You're supposed to support each other and you're supposed to boost each other up. So it's great whenever you can share somebody else's blog post or their website in general. And that kind of brings me into something else that you can add to your blog, are interviews and guest posts. Now, you can be interviewed by somebody else on their website or on their podcast or their YouTube channel or wherever, and then you can write a post and say, hey, I was featured over here. Or you can write a guest post for somebody's blog and, again, write a post on your own blog, say, I was featured over here, here's the link, go check it out, and go give this person some love. Alternatively, you can host other people on your blog. You can host author interviews, you can have other people write guest posts for your blog, and you can give them a little byline so you're still sharing the love, but your audience and their audience is coming to your website, therefore more eyes are getting on your work.
Yeah, both Rachel and I have hosted guests on our websites. And it doesn't always have to be a published author. It could be a non-published author, someone who's coming up in the industry, you know, trying to start and write their and finish their first book, because everyone has interest in what people have got to say about it, and to see what people are going through with their processes and their struggles. Yeah, you can have book cover artists on, editors, publishers, anything like that, formatters. There's quite a range of people in the industry you can have interviewed. One thing I will say is if you are going to have guests or you're going to be, if you're going to have guests, think carefully about it and set up some guidelines. Everything from how much you want them to write to what sort of topics they can talk about, whether or not you're okay with them just, you know, giving you a post that's all advertisement for their work. You do need to be careful about it because you want to know what sort of thing they're going to put on your blog, because obviously it'll all connect to the SEO and it'll be tied in. As much as it's a great thing, definitely be a bit more careful with it, because as I said, we've both done guest posts and most people are brilliant. Some people will completely just be a little bit crazy and they'll send you like 5,000 words and it's got nothing to do with anything about writing, and it's like, yeah, I can't use that. So set up systems in place. And if you're new to blogging, you don't have to wait for people to come to you. Reach out. I think when I first started blogging and first came onto the writing community, I didn't know anyone. And I went out of my way to find writers on blogs and on social media. And I would message them saying, hi, would you like to be interviewed? I have a set of like 12 questions I can email you, and all you have to do is fill it in. And then I'll put it on my blog and I'll have a little section at the bottom for a blurb about yourself and a little bit about your book. And so many writers, published and unpublished, were so happy to do that. They were like, oh yeah. And I literally had the same 12 questions I asked everybody. And I think I did start changing it up, but it was a quick and easy way to get people onto your blog. And then most, not all unfortunately, but most of them were happy enough to then share that. So then you've got a bigger exposure. And the people who followed those writers would come onto the blog and read their article, read their interview. And often they'd stay and do more. So it's a really good way of supporting other people in the industry and also benefits you and your blog and gets you a bit more exposure. So yeah, it's definitely a good idea.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's just a great way to get to know other people in the writing community and even in the blogging sphere as well. And I do agree with Ari, set up some guidelines so that you don't get any unsolicited guest posts that have nothing to do with your blog or anything like that, because once you start it, it's very easy to go down a rabbit hole, and because people love interviews and they love writing guest posts and they love having people write guest posts. So I mean, you can just look anywhere. It's pretty easy to get into that, and it goes both ways between your blog and their blog or their podcast or wherever it is. But finally, something else that you can add to your blog, and now I mean, obviously you can do whatever you want on your blog, so these are just a few examples, but the last one that we'll talk about is you can discuss the news. And when I say the news, I mean writing industry happenings and like reading industry stuff, publishing industry stuff. As long as it stays relevant to writing or whatever your niche is, you can discuss the news. And again, sometimes that can cross over into like controversial territory. So, you know, do it at your own risk. Me personally, I don't really talk about the news at all. I just kind of keep that to myself, or I vent about it to my sister. I don't really broadcast it on the internet. But some people do, and like if there's something going on in the publishing industry, people like to read about what their favorite authors and fellow writers have to say about what's going on, whether it's positive or negative.
Yeah, I think there's certain things in the news that could be quite really useful, and it's one of those things that you can share it and for what it is, and then as things change and progress, you can always update that post or create a new post and have it like, because obviously the industry changes quite quickly. I would say if you're doing anything newsworthy and things like that, I would definitely make sure you do a lot of research. Do not just find some random post on somebody else's blog who says something and go, oh, I'm gonna repeat that. Let's make sure it's good information about something specific, so that you're not passing around bad information, which unfortunately happens a lot on the internet. In situations like news or industry information or changes, you want to be as clear as possible. So definitely do your due diligence with the information you want to spread. And if you can include sources, even better. I would always try and avoid anything that is controversial, because even when you try and take a neutral stand, the world isn't easy enough to deal with that, because you can try and be neutral and unbiased and just share the facts, and somebody will still be offended, upset, angry, aggressive about it, because that's what people are. We are a bunch of emotions and stresses and experiences, and we don't always read things correctly. I mean, how many times have you gone on, you've read something and you've gone to the comments and you realize that someone is literally commenting about the title of the article, and if they'd have read it, they would realize where the author was going about it, and they're just screeching on in the comments, and you're just like, well, you didn't read it, did you? So you've got to be aware that no matter how good you might put the article or information that's controversial and be unbiased and you know, very journalistic, you might still get a lot of hate or anger or pushback because somebody might not read it. So my personal opinion is, if possible, avoid the controversy. It's not worth getting everybody upset. I mean, to be fair, the whole system, everyone is going to be offended by something. Everyone has got something that offends them in some way. So the best way is just to try and avoid anything so that you just don't have to deal with it, in my eyes. That's my advice.
I mean, in a nutshell, it's not even just about the news or controversy stuff. It's just whatever you share, like, share at your own risk. It's the internet. I mean, that's kind of a given for everybody, I would hope. But we gotta say it anyway.
I know, it's like I don't often get pulled into like some of the more what's the word? Like trashy news. It's like I used to think about like celebrity kind of trashy thing. But every now and then something will leak through and I'll hear that some author somewhere said something and on a video and people are up in arms, and then I'll watch the video and I'll be like, from the tone, it was clearly meant as a joke, or it was clearly meant as satire. And even when it comes out and they're like, actually it was a satirical piece, and people are like, I don't care, and it's like, oh, okay. I mean, obviously depend on what was said, but at the same time it's like, yeah, you just don't risk it. It's like, it's not worth it to because you, yeah, it's just, no, it's just,
yeah, well, people just jump the gun. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, as long as you keep your blog content within your niche, you keep it to writing or reading or, you know, whatever else you talk about, you're pretty good. You're golden. And just, you don't need to be super consistent with your blog, but try to upload maybe even just like once a month, just to let people know that you're active. Keep your blog relevant. The blog posts don't need to be, you know, 3,000 words long. They don't need to be like little mini novels or anything like that. You can just, oh, that's another thing. You can share your straight up writing. Share short stories or flash fiction. Share writing prompts. Create a writing challenge. That's other stuff that you can do I didn't even think about. But in a nutshell, there are so many different types of blog posts you can write about on your website. How-to guides, lists, reviews, news, interviews, guest posts, FAQs, personal stories, opinion pieces, roundups, writing updates, writing, creative writing in general, anything that tickles your fancy. So, with all of that said, we're going to turn it over to you guys and ask, what types of articles do you share on your blog? Is there anything that we missed? Because I'm sure there is. Let us know your answers in the comments so we can chat about it. And remember, we release a new episode every Wednesday. Next week, we're discussing dealing with perfectionism. So to ensure you don't miss it, don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your way out. As always, thank you for listening to the Mary Writer Podcast. We'll see you guys next week. This podcast is brought to you by Scraps of Paper. We have notes everywhere. The music, titled Inspired, is by Kevin MacLeod, licensed under Creative Commons 4.0.